Now we'll turn our thoughts to the Word of God. And I'll read us a passage from the 4th chapter of St. John. And, well, maybe I'll read a few verses here leading up to the verses that I want. I'll begin with verse 19. This is in the middle of Christ's conversation with the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The subject of these verses, that's reading from verse 19 continuing through verse 24 of the 4th chapter of John, and the subject of all these verses is worship. And the Samaritan woman says, we worship over here. You say over here is where men ought to worship. Jesus said, the hour cometh when you won't worship over here or over here. It isn't the place that counts so much, but it's the manner and the quality of your worship. The hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers, Jesus spoke of the true worshipers and he spoke of the true vine. Everything that is mentioned in regard to anything in the Holy Scriptures, Jesus is that in reality. It all focused on him. He was the true vine. I would indicate there were some other vines too. And the Bible speaks about the vine of Sodom. That was a wrong vine, a false vine. Here he speaks about the true worshipers. The fact that he emphasized true worshipers would indicate there were some other kind of worshipers too. And Jesus spoke about a class of people that worshipped him in vain. Vain worshipers. And there were some false worshipers. And there were some false vines. And there are some false ways today, but in the midst of all of them, there's a true way. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I'm the only means of access to the Father. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. The true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Not just in truth. We can kind of get overboard that way. until people will be accepted in fellowship because they hold the doctrine we hold, regardless of what kind of a sour spirit they have. When we reach that point, we've already gotten too doctrine-minded. It isn't just in truth, and it isn't just in spirit. But it's spirit and truth. These balance up in the true worship of God. Spirit and truth. I have said before now, I say it now, and I'll probably say it some more, because I believe it, and I believe it's important for us to realize this. You take a person that has the truth, let him have it straight. Let him have it all the way through, nothing but truth. But he's void of the Spirit, and he's a dangerous man to be loose. The latter kills. That fellow that has the truth without the Spirit and hammers on that, he can kill everybody he meets. He's dangerous. You take a person that has the Spirit, but he doesn't know the truth, and he's a religious zealot. But you take a person that is well balanced in spirit and truth, and you've got a person with a powerful life, a strong faith, a victorious experience, able to meet his problems in life and overcome them. Worshiping God in spirit and in truth is confined to this New Testament time, this gospel age. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth. Truth is not worth a nickel without grace. You can't do anything with it. The defect that the law had in its age was that it supplied no grace. And the people couldn't live up to it, and they just had to keep offering sacrifices year after year for their sins. If God were to pour out upon us truth without grace, it would consign every one of us to an eternal hell because we couldn't live that truth. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The truth as we know it is reserved for this age of time. Those who live back under the law age, the scripture says concerning them that they all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and foreigners and pilgrims in the earth, goes on to say that God prepared some better thing for us, that without us they should not be made perfect. Or without this, that should not be made perfect. It took this to perfect that. Fulfill the law age. We have a better thing. And worshiping God in spirit and in truth Moses, Elijah, Isaiah, Daniel, those men did not know the truth as we know the truth. It came by Jesus Christ. And Jesus ascended up into heaven and sent the Spirit back to stay. And this is the Holy Spirit dispensation, an age of time. And it's in this age and this age only. It's reserved for us who have lived in this gospel age, from Peter, James, and John, Amen. On down to the people living today, to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Amen. Now, those people back there never had that privilege, and consequently they never had the joy and rejoicing and the strength supplied for their souls and spiritual life that we have today. They wrote more about rejoicing than what we hear about rejoicing. They had a kind of rejoicing, all right. But oh, how we ought to abound in the joy of the Lord through the privilege of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. That brings results that none of the things of that system back there could ever produce. And it produces joy and praise and worship and thanksgiving in the souls of men and women today that could not be experienced back there by those people. When God said in His Word that He prepared some better thing for us, and that Jesus obtained a more excellent ministry by the which He is a mediator of a better promise, better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Folks, that's all summing up to something great.
Amen.
We're living in the best age of the world.
Amen.
And if we'll just avail ourselves of the privileges we have and appropriate them to our personal lives and personal needs, we can have the greatest experience of anybody in the world.
Amen.
This entire spiritual system under which we operate had its shadow cast forth back in the Old Testament times. And it's very interesting to look into and study types and antitypes, shadows and realities. The law had a shadow of good things to come. We have the good things themselves. We have the better things that God provided for this age of time. This is the salvation age.
Amen.
This is the Holy Spirit age. We ought to be very optimistic. And we ought to be very jubilant and very enthused about what we have access to in this age of time. I say it's the best age of the world. Oh, you say, it's such a wicked age. Yes, it is. I agree with that. You say, sin is so rampant and so abounding on every hand. Yes, it is. I agree with that. But the Scripture still says, where grace, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound.
Amen.
And we're in the age of abounding grace today. And now this system of worshiping God in spirit and in truth, it cast its shadow back there too. And it had particular things that pointed forth to this spiritual system under which we now operate and worship God. And I want to notice a few of those things. And I'll turn first to Exodus, the 20th chapter, and verse 25. He says, "And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, The first thing that claims our attention here is altar. Altar is where the sacrifice is offered.
Amen.
That sacrifice that they offered was equivalent to our worship. In the 13th chapter of Hebrews, he's speaking of Christ our high priest, and he says, we have a high priest, and we have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. We have a special altar. A little further down in the chapter it says, by him, our altar is a person.
Amen.
Is a man.
Yes.
By him, Jesus is our altar. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice to God, sacrifice of praise to God continually, even the calves of our lips. Now that altar on which they offered their sacrifices, and the sacrifice that they offered upon it was typical of Christ and our spiritual offerings and sacrifices that we offer to him through Christ in this day and time.
Amen.
Now, we're talking about here making or building an altar. And this altar is erected in our hearts. Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Our sacrifices come right out of our heart. And they're offered on an altar that's built in our heart. The next thing that claims our attention here is the building material. If thou wilt make me an altar, thou shalt not build it of hewn stones. Now, God never permitted anybody to hew or shape or chisel the stones he's going to build this altar out of. The stones are typical of the Word of God, the principles of truth on which our faith is founded. In Ephesians 2 and 20, he says, ye are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Would we get the idea from that that Jesus Christ was a literal cornerstone and a literal foundation of a literal building, and that the apostles were literal stones in that foundation? Well, of course not. We wouldn't think of that being the case, and what is the case? The case is this, that we are built upon the foundation of the principles of truth that was delivered to us by Jesus Christ himself. He's the chief cornerstone, and perpetuated by his apostles and their successors clear on down to our age of time. That's the foundation of our faith. That's where we build. In Jude, verse 20, he says, ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Now, faith in this text does not refer to that action of the soul that reaches out and seizes upon the promises of God and makes them effective and working in our behalf, that brings the answer to our prayers. But faith in this text refers to the doctrine, the doctrines of truth, the principles of truth upon which our experience and our faith is founded and where we're built. Now, what he wants us to do When we're building or erecting an altar in our hearts upon which to offer our sacrifice and to worship God, we take the whole stones, the principles of truth, just like God gave them to us in His Word, without shaping or chiseling or compromising or altering or changing in any kind of a way. Don't build it of hewn stones. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Now our tools, in this case, would typify our human reasoning, our I think so's. One brother said to me one time, said, "Brother Wilson, you know what the worst spirit, one of the worst spirits that we have to deal with today is?" And I said, "Well, maybe I don't know just what you're thinking about." And he says, "It's the I think spirit." People say, "I think this, and I think that." He said, if you lift up your tool on it, if you apply your human reasoning to it, if you apply your learning and wisdom to it, if you apply your human understanding to it, whatever or by whatever means you shape or chisel or hew any of these principles of truth, you polluted it.
Amen.
Paul says, we are not of them which corrupt the gospel. Now, corrupting the gospel would be just what I'm talking about. Somebody said to me once, and they were, this party was raised by a saint mother from her childhood, way on back there, and taught the truth. Evelyn and I met her at a wedding reception when my granddaughter was married, and we were down there for that. And there she was, all made up and rouged up and haircut short, and not a sign of a sleeve in her dress, just some straps over her shoulders, ring on her finger, and I don't know what all else. And when they passed around the champagne, Evelyn and I turned our cups upside down. We didn't want any, but she took some and drank it right there in front of us. She was talking about, just a few nights before that, we had visited her in her home, and she was talking about how she'd found the Lord, and that she was saved, and how she was enjoying the Lord, and so on. And this night, she appeared there like that, and she said to me, says, "I don't see things like I used to," says, "I'm thinking for myself now. I'm just thinking for myself now." Well, I have news for folks like that. God has not left you and me in regard to spiritual things. Now, in regard to the matters of this life and this world, it's all right for you to think for yourself. But He hasn't left any of us to think for ourselves in regard to His truth and spiritual things in our spiritual life. He tells us in the 3rd chapter of Proverbs in verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding."
Amen.
Don't apply that tool to any of these principles of truth. Folks, what we need, and we need it bad, is that attitude of heart and disposition of soul, that in everything that comes up in our lives, we will earnestly seek God, that He, through the Spirit, will reveal to us what the will of God is in this matter.
Amen.
And how to follow through on this. If you lift up your tool and your understanding and your I think so and your human reasoning to this, that, or the other, and apply that and shape that to your life, says you polluted it. In the 8th chapter of Joshua, and verse 31, we find another text about building an altar. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man hath lift up any iron. They offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. An altar of whole stones. Listen. What God wants you and me to do in our lives and in our hearts is take these principles of truth from His Word in their entirety and build them right into our lives.
Amen.
Now, you haven't done any building until you have built it into your life. Till you've actually taken it into your soul, absorbed it up into your very spiritual life, and it's the guiding influence of your life. You haven't built a bit just by memorizing the Scriptures, just by knowing what God's Word says. But it's receiving it into your heart and assimilating it into your soul, up into your spiritual system, till it's the guiding and controlling influence of your life. The emphasis I want here in this verse is an altar of whole stones over which no man has lifted up any two. God has not given any man, oh, but so-and-so, he's a very learned man. He's a DD or LLD or PhD or whatever. He's a very learned man. I wouldn't want to contend with him. However learned he is, God never gave him the right to chisel any of these stones.
Amen.
Or to shape any of these stones. Just take the whole stones of truth, just like God delivered them to us, just like we find it, apply that to ourselves and build upon it.
Amen.
That's the way we build an altar in our hearts upon which to worship God. I'm talking about worshiping God in truth now. I'm not discussing the point of the Spirit yet. But I'm talking about worshiping God in truth. My text says that we worship the Father in spirit and in truth. In Proverbs, the 30th chapter, verses 5 and 6, he says, every word of God is pure. Now, God isn't feeding you and me anything that isn't good for us to eat. We have pure food laws and we have a pure food administration, but I fear they're allowing many things that's not very good for you and me to take into our bodies. Not good for our systems. But God isn't feeding us any junk food. And He isn't feeding us anything that isn't good for us. Every word of God is pure. And then he says, therefore, add nothing to it.
Amen.
Lest thou be reproved and be found a liar. Don't add a thing to it. In Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter, in the 2nd verse, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you.
Amen.
Don't add anything to it. Don't diminish from it. Take the whole stone, just like it's given, just like you find it, and that principle of truth that God has given to us in His Word, and And build that right into your soul.
Amen.
Build it into your life without any chiseling, shaping, human reasoning, philosophy of men. God said that the world through wisdom knew not God. And I don't care how wise people get and how learned they get, they don't learn God that way. And God hasn't given them any right to dabble with His Word. Don't add anything to it. Don't take anything from it. The 12th chapter of Deuteronomy, in verse 32, he says, "What things soever I command you, observe to do it." Now, Jesus reiterated that. He gave it just almost in those words. He said, "Go ye and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Now he says, "What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it." Not change it in any kind of a way. I used to sing a song, I guess 40 years ago, or maybe longer ago than that. Yeah, it was. But one verse of it says, "Some doubters are trying God's word to revise. Just leave it alone. Just leave it alone. No longer this line or that passage they prize. Don't change it. Just leave it alone. Just leave it alone. 'Tis God's holy word, whose Son did for evil atone. Each word and each line tells of goodness divine. Don't change it, just leave it alone." Folks, that's what all these texts are telling us. Don't change it, just leave it alone. God said to Joshua here in Joshua, first chapter and verse 7, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." Now we have folks that are off course on the right. We have folks that are off course on the left. And they're slugging it out with each other and looking cross-eyed at each other, and they're pretty far apart. And each of them think they're right. "I'm off over here, but I'm right. And I'm off over here, and I'm right." And I say, neither of them's right. The way some folks do remind me of my brother when he was a little fella. And he didn't know how to talk plain yet. He'd say, "Dink for drink." He wanted dink. Well, there was some family friends of my folks, and they had a little boy about my brother's age and size, and he'd say, "Jink. I want jink." And so those friends were at our home one day, and their little boy wanted to drink, and he says, "I want jink. Give me jink." My brother looked at him just as disdainful and contemptuous like, and he says, "Jink. Why don't you say dink?" Well, a lot of this going on between folks just has about as much sense to it as that. Remind me of that. And I say that the fellow that gets off on the right, he's just as far off as the fellow that gets off on the left. The fellow that's extreme and fanatic in his views, he's just as far off as the fellow that's compromised in his. God doesn't want you and me departing from the stones that He's given us to the right hand or to the left. Just take the whole stones, just like He gave them, and build right in there. Now, we have another text here in the 27th chapter. I don't think I have time to go into it, though. But I'll have to break this up a little and get back to it another time. We're just talking up to this point about worshiping God in the truth. And at some other time, the Lord willing, we'll get back to it and discuss worshiping God in the Spirit. Incidentally, as I close, I will say I had a little telephone conversation yesterday with Sister Sherry Rich. And she called about something else, but in the conversation she told me that she and Brian, her husband, expected to be here for service next Sunday morning. I judged from her conversation they just stopped for the one service. They're on the way to Canada. And I said, well, all right, that'll be good. And I invited her to preach for us next Sunday morning. I said, we'll just let you bring us a message. She said she would if the Lord gave her one. So that'll be something to look forward to, and let's pray the Lord will give her a good one. And that she will be able to bless our hearts. Now let us stand and be dismissed.